All right, it's time for Master Life. Let's start the session with a prayer. Okay, let's prepare our heart with a prayer. Let's pray. Father, we want to give the following time into your hand. Ask your Holy Spirit to be with us, guide our thoughts and our discussions. Make this session a blessing to everyone who's participating in this class. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's do some review, and then we will break up in small groups. This is the last class of Book 1, and the topic is Minister to Others. We'll do some reviewing now, review the basics. All right. First is to take up your cross. This is our thing, verse Luke 9:23. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We have three commitments of a disciple. The first is to deny self. The second is to take up his or her cross daily. And number three is to follow Christ. Let's look individually what each item means. What does it mean to deny self, and what does it mean to take up your cross daily, and what does it mean to follow Christ? Let's give it a little bit of thought. To deny self, basically it means to say no to your old way of life. If we have our old way of life, we live our life all the time, and we say no. You say goodbye to a self-centered life and start a Christ-centered life. So it's turning from commitment to self to commitment to Christ. That means to deny self. And it's a very important spiritual lesson. We Christians, we learn this spiritual lesson all our lives. We learn how to deny self and follow Christ. What does it mean to take up your cross? In this Master Life Discipleship, it's very clear. It says, take up your cross means for you to be spiritually disciplined and to develop this sixth spiritual discipline. It means you have to take some sacrifice in order to complete them, to be spiritually disciplined, and to be willing to make a sacrifice. Sacrifice your time, your resource, so that you will spend time with Christ, you will witness for Him, you will spend time in His Word and have fellowship, etc. Number three, what does it mean to follow Christ? That means to be obedient to Christ. That's a very major concept in Master Life. The word obedient should be always in our mind, that am I an obedient follower of Christ? That's the Master Life. This special discipleship program, it focuses on obedience to Christ. Yeah. And to be like Christ, that means your characters will be remodeled after Christ. So this is a basic verse in my experience, all my Christian experience. I learned one thing. The most important thing is to handle the basics. Sometimes we pursue the more advanced concept or anything else. We thought those are nice, but we ignore the basics. Many people, they cannot handle the basics. If you do well on the basics, we learn how to deny self, take up cross, and follow Christ, we will do well in more advanced area. Okay, five Christian ministries. These are what you learned last week. Let's do a little bit of review. First is ministry of teaching and preaching. This is an outgrowth of the discipline of spending time in God's Word. Okay. In order to be in the ministry of teaching and preaching, there's a requirement. A requirement that's a good understanding of the Word of God, which means you have a good grasp of the Bible. You have not only read through a Bible once, but you have some in-depth study. You know the basic concept, basic teaching of Bible, and you are able to lead the Bible study, to share the Word of God. It's my experience. Most of the time, this is what happened in Christian church. Someone, usually he or she doesn't read the Bible, but then the responsibility comes. Okay, next week it's your turn to lead the Bible study. All right, then I will read that passage. I'll get some books, I'll get online, and find some insights. And then the time comes, okay, I'll lead tonight's Bible study. Then he or she lead that Bible study. Okay, this is done. Then he or she no longer read any Bible. Until next time, it's my turn to do a Bible study again. Those kind of people, they are handling a church's teaching ministry, but themselves are not rooted in God's Word. They just pass along some passage, and that really doesn't help. In order to be a real teacher, to be in the ministry of teaching and preaching, yourself need to be a person who's baptized into God's Word, which means you're immersed deep into God's Word. Then you are able to share what God means, God wants, God's message. So, requirement, a good understanding of the Word of God and opportunities. You can do personal counseling. There's always opportunity of personal counseling. Or small group meetings. You share your ideas in discussion, etc. Bible study. Anytime you have a Bible study, yeah, that's time to share God's Word. Or Sunday school. It's the structured church teaching ministry. Fellowship meetings, all preaching in our church. We encourage brothers and sisters to share God's message from the pulpit. The person who get up there to preach need to have a good understanding of the Bible. So that's the first ministry. And the book tells us there's a second ministry. It's a ministry of worship and intercession. Now the requirements. That person need to have an active prayer life and a good understanding of the Bible. You need to have the truth, and also you need to be an active prayer yourself. Opportunities abound. You can be someone's prayer partner or be an organization, mission organization or church's prayer partner. You can interceding for others, okay? Pray for other people's need. You're leading small group prayers. There's a lot of small group fellowship, etc. In that meeting, you can lead prayer. And you can be in church's prayer meeting. That's very important. Prayer meeting is a church's engine. When people got down on their knees and pray for God's ministry, God will be with us. You can be a prayer meeting participant or a prayer meeting leader. And you can be a worship leader. Okay. I have a few words to say about worship leading. It's been a trend that people with some music talents, they know how to play music, can get up there and lead a worship service. Basically, they are leading a song. They are teaching you, leading you how to sing it. Yeah. But a worship leader is a different people. He leads you to worship God. And that's totally different. You just have a music skills, you won't do it. But if you yourself is a worshiper, from your heart you worship God, and you will show when you get up there and lead. And then people will, by your leading, get into God's presence and naturally worship Him. So the ministry of worship leader is a very important ministry. And if you do have an active prayer life, that will help a lot. Actually, that's a prerequisite for getting into this ministry. And then the book says there's another number three ministry, is the ministry of nurture. All of us can do this. As long as you are a disciple, you actively are following Christ, you have the opportunity to do the ministry of nurture. Let's see the opportunity. Counseling, especially a seeker or a new Christian, when they face a time of decision, they need a Christian counselor. Talk to them, pray with them. So this seeker or new Christian knows how to make a decision. Helping spiritual infants to grow, the new believers, they really need your help. If God put around you some new believers, that means God trusts you. God trusts you. He entrusts you with the new believers, the new infants, that you can help them to grow. That's a tremendous blessing on both parts, on your part and on the person part, the other person who receives your counseling. Teaching other Christians how to follow Christ. Okay. In the beginning, we say one day you will be a discipler. You were discipling someone else. Okay. Training leaders. Okay. Teaching people how to witness, evangelism, counseling people about their interpersonal needs. Always, we have such a opportunity as a minister, a pastor. There's always people will come to you, present their needs, their problems, and you need to give them advice. That's ministry of nurture, and you can do the same. It doesn't have to be a pastor. You as a Christian, you can do it. Serving as a council member or group leader, this is a ministry of nurture. So there's actually a high requirement of the qualification of a council member. This person needs to be a disciple himself or herself in order to handle God's house's affair. So serving as a council member or group leader, you need to be a disciple yourself. And God will give this opportunity, the ministry of nurture. All right, number four, the ministry of evangelism. Requirement, any born-again Christian, okay? You believe in God, you are saved by God's grace, you are the person in the ministry of evangelism. Opportunities, living a life that attracts lost person's attention. I think this is our book especially emphasize on this. If you live a life that a lost person, how come this guy is doing this, and why she's acting so kindly, so why there's so much love in her heart, people will pay attention. And the personal evangelism. Last week we learned the Roman road, not just by your behavior that attracts people. Also, you need to verbally convey God's message of salvation to them, and you really need to have a structured way to present God's salvation. For spiritual law, it's an easy way because there's a booklet in your hand. It just goes through the pages. You don't even have to memorize any verses. But Roman road, in my own opinion, is a better way. If you know the verses, just open your Bible and show them God's plan for salvation. All right, another opportunity, small group evangelism. If you are in a small group, the whole group can do evangelism. Invite seekers to your group. Share the gospel to lost people through small group activities. Church evangelism. Our church is going to do a community outreach in the summer, in August. We will cooperate with other churches on this place. We'll work along with the Hispanic church, the Anglican church, and the Korean church. We'll offer VBS for the community children. We'll do outreach to the Hispanic children, Chinese children, American children, all of them. Invite them to church, and we'll have this VBS. We also hope that will be an opportunity to outreach to the adults too in the community. So the main focus is on children, but if God allows, we may have some activity for the adults too. So that will be a team effort, multi-congregation effort. That's a church evangelism. That's just one way to do it. We also have evangelistic meetings, new student service, etc. And the missions ministry, short-term missionary. I think some of some of us here in this place will go to Arizona this summer to be a short-term missionary. Yeah. And a career missionary, mission giving and prayer support. Okay, that's ministry of evangelism. And the number five, the last opportunity is the ministry of service. This one just comes naturally as you fellowship with believers and witness to the world. Then when you are in touch with the believers and the non-believers, the opportunity of service will just present itself naturally. Any opportunity you can help people in the name of Christ, our book especially emphasizes that whenever people notice something, you do some favor for them, you always mention it's because Christ, you give the credit to God, and make sure that opportunity will become an opportunity for that person to know Jesus. If in the end he or she just thank you a lot and he doesn't know there's a God, there's a Jesus, there's a gospel, then we just miss the opportunity. All right. Evangelism related service or church related service. All right. Sharing and discussion. Last week's lesson is a service. Master of Life asked us to share some experience. Describe a situation in which you had an opportunity to serve someone sacrificially. Not necessarily very big sacrifice. Even a small sacrifice is good. I'm sure you all have some experience that in order to serve someone, you have to sacrifice your time, maybe sacrifice some money, sacrifice some personal things in order to give service to other people. Anyone like to share a little bit? Okay, it's a sharing. It's a, don't be afraid to share. It's a, oh, if I share, I'm boasting. You're not boasting.
I'll share, but I always share.
Thank you so much, Jen. Thank you.
No one else.
Okay. Okay, anyone else want to go first? Okay, I see a lot of smiling faces. That's good, you are smiling. If no one's going to share, I'm going to ask Jen to share first. We need your help now. Oh, okay, Cindy, go ahead.
I think my dad shared a little bit in service this morning, but during the month of May, I had some relatives come to America from China. So pretty much for the month of May, I was a translator, a tour guide, and everything else. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
It wasn't always easy.
A lot of your family's relatives are not believers yet. Is that right? Yeah. So that's a wonderful service. It's a good witness. Thank you, Cindy. Yeah. It's your turn, Jen.
Sometimes in the mornings, it's really hard for me. My mind races. There's always so much going on, so I have a tendency to want to control things in the morning, so I can bring some sanity in my life. I got an e-text from one of my employees, and her mom had been sick. We had been praying for her in church and everything. And she asked, she'd been absent a bit for different things, and she asked that morning, which would have been a big burden on the department, if she could just not be there that morning. Her mom, it wasn't an emergency, but it was something important to her. And when I first texted her, I was thinking out of my head and not out of my heart. And I texted her, and I said, you know, it's let me see what's going on with the other people. Let me see if we can balance it out, blah, blah. And then I sat back and I thought about it. I go, what am I doing? I go, her mom's been sick. She needs to spend time with her. I'm going to fix my schedule so I can sit with her so she doesn't have to worry about it. So I emailed her right back. But I was stunned at how hard that was for me at that moment and embarrassed. yourself. You're not, I like those moments, but they're hard. And then it was nice to be able to turn it around and say, no, do it. And she was so grateful. I mean, and it was important to her family, so.
It's very nice. Thank you. Thank you, Tim. I move to next item. Describe what cross-bearing means to you. Yeah, we're talking about basics. What does it mean to you to take up the cross? Anyone like to share?
Be responsible to God.
Be responsible to God. Yeah. Thank you, Lin.
Myself and to be obedient to you and to grow
with you. Thank you, Lucy. Anyone like to give an example? What do you do in your life and you know that's taking up the cross?
I can share. Well, Thursday at around 4:20. I got a phone call from a patient. It's a patient's wife, and she wants me to find the outside complication cases because that's what I had sent out the same day to Stanford. But our pickup time is only 10 minutes, and I don't know where is the case. So I need to find the case first, and then in the meantime, I told her I'll try, but I'm not guaranteed. But I will try to at least tomorrow, Friday morning, first thing in the morning, I'll mail everything out to Stanford. And so I didn't promise her I would do it, but I would try my best. And she was really worried, and I said, you know what, I don't know, but I will try. So in the meantime, I sent her everything, and then I also sent out email to ask whoever, you know, attending, and then I found the slides in 10 minutes, and I start packing. But I know that I'm not going to stay there that day, because it's already 4:30, and then the FedEx already gone. So I pray God. I said, you know what? I know I have to do it. This is the patient care, and this is something that. So then I pray, and I told God, I said, if there's anything I can do to have the slides going out tomorrow, and if they can ship it in the same day, then it will be great. So then I went home after that. I finished everything, and I was praying for this one. And then Friday morning, the first thing, I sent the package out. Then the patient called me, and she said, not me, the wife, she said, do you have the tracking number so I can, you know, call them? I said, I already called the clinic, so everything is already taken care of. And she was, like, speechless. She's like, oh, my God, you are so efficient. You don't know how much you can make for us. Yeah, and I was really pleased that, you know, she said that. Although we never met, I don't even know who she was. But the thing is, I feel like, you know, this is something, that's why I want to say why. Be responsible to God, because I'm honoring this to God, because this is something that I have done for him.
Mm-hmm. That's very nice sharing. Thank you. Anyone else like to share? Jesse? Oh, Azu?
For me, like, cross bearing means like we love God, and God, they told us to love him, but there's sometimes it's hard to love someone if that person is not like lovable, and then we have a lot of like issues like upstairs, and there's too many stories. And then I think at the beginning I was so frustrated, and I was like, I couldn't understand how can a person like me. And then after I started like this like bachelor class, now I can, like, not fully love them, because if I really love them, I'll probably try to talk to them and then talk about that, but I'm still, like, on the way to love them. So now I can just, like, laugh what about, like, the stories we had with them, and then sometimes I feel bad for them because they don't know how to, like, care of other people. So I think it's
really close. Yeah. Thank you, Azu. That's very good. Yeah, thank you. Let's move on a little bit. Okay. Okay, how do you feel when you realize Christ has said you will experience rejection when you witness in His name? I think many of us already have that kind of experience. When you're witnessing Christ's name, you experience rejection. How does that make you feel? Anyone like to share a little bit? Yes, Paul.
Whenever I read the stuff about the rejection, I feel it even right now. I feel like I haven't been rejected enough.
I know what that feels like to its fullest extent.
So that's been bothering me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I do kind of feel like I know what I'm supposed to do, kind of. But I feel like the fact that I haven't felt this sense of rejection is indicative of a part of the cross that is missing in my life, or that left side witnessing. So. Hopefully
that
will change.
Thank you. That's a very good sharing. People should have similar experience.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that was the first thing I thought of when I heard that, or when I read that over and over again. I'm like, I don't know. We went to a play last night that showed what the early disciples went through and the type of rejection they faced. And I definitely know we don't feel that now because we're free. So, but even little rejections, I mean, I get rejected all the time when I try to do good or when I'm working at something. But as far as witnessing boldly, I mean, yeah, I've talked to people about Christ and they don't receive it. That doesn't really bother me. But this is talking, I think, about a deeper sense of rejection, persecution almost to some degree.
Yeah.
I have to be with Paul on that one. I don't think I have felt it to the extent of what it's mentioning here. I mean, I don't think I really felt it that much at all. And I do witness regularly, but, you know, again, I don't know what that really feels like. I think I've had persecution once or twice at work before. But because I said something and people went told on me and whatever. And again, I just kind of moved through that. It wasn't a huge deal. That doesn't happen. I mean, out of all the years I've been working, that's happened once. Because I seem to be protected almost. Whenever I talk about it, it seems to be received pretty well, or if not, it's, you know, it just kind of goes on. So I don't know what that. I'm not sure I've experienced it to that level that it's talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Jen. Yeah. I think all the Christians experience rejection to some degree. When Jesus is talking about rejection, it's not just limited to witnessing. He says just being His disciples, just following Him, you will experience rejection daily. That's what we experience. But we Christians, we live in the church. We have brothers and sisters surrounding us. We feel comfortable, and that's our comfort zone. So in order to experience more rejection, we need to step outside our comfort zone. Okay, witnessing to people, that's a sure way to experience rejection. Yeah. Sometimes we have to force ourselves into doing so. Okay. I think many people will notice that by nature I'm an introvert person. I'm not that kind of outgoing person. So from the first day I become a Christian, I need to force myself out of my own comfort zone to do some witnessing. this is really hard on me, but I have to get myself trained in that way. So in my early years, I did a lot of things that naturally I just won't do it. Go to a market and spend by the entrance and give flyers, gospel tracts. Or I don't know, some of you may be too young. There was an Olympic here in Los Angeles in 1984. Okay, go to the Olympic site to give gospel tract, to witness, etc. But anyway, feel a lot of rejection. I think one of the most terrifying experience of witnessing. There's one night in a Houston neighborhood. It's just it's an old white, a Caucasian neighborhood, and I have to ring door to door to just do some personal evangelism. That's very terrifying, but a lot of rejection, which is good training. And actually, be a Christian, not to mention be a pastor, you have to experience rejection daily, weekly. Okay? Every time a pastor get up the pulpit to preach, he is expect to experience rejection. Some people will receive the message and some people won't. All the pastors, preachers, they know. Okay? The one reason most preachers are considering, is it time for me to retire? I want to retire. It's because they don't want to experience the rejection anymore. All right. Share about the time when the Holy Spirit made you bold and give you strength to minister or witness to others. This will be our last sharing. Anyone? Because God helped you? You were reluctant or afraid of doing something, then God helped you and you went through it, etc. Similar experience? Anyone like to share? Yes, Pastor Rod.
I first became a believer. I had to start praying for all my family to get saved. And then one time I was praying, I realized that God was saying, go tell them. And the problem was that I lived on the West Coast and they all lived on the East Coast. So when I go back, I had to make the most of them back to my brother, so to speak. And my brother was asking me to give him his Catholic baptism. And it was about 200 of my family there. And he asked me to say a prayer. And I felt that this would be a wonderful opportunity to tell him about Jesus. So I came up with I came up with a little spiel about sharing about Jesus and the gospel. And as I went to the Catholic Church, I started to give reasons why this was not proper for me to do. But as I was thinking about that, the Catholic priest started saying all the scriptures that I was going to say. And the very reasons that I was excuses why I was coming up with not to say, he was refuting in his little spiel that he was doing. And I felt that was God's word, coming to me saying, just stand up and do it. And so I did. I stand up and I told my family about 200 people in a brief little spiel, about Christ. And I felt that was God's spirit, and it seemed to have affected them in a good way. But that was the Lord sort of nudging me in an area where I wanted to back down. So I was very grateful for that.
Yeah. That's a wonderful testimony. Thank you, Pastor Roth. All right. Six spiritual disciplines. I won't go through them again. By now you should be very familiar with them. And let's talk about this. Okay. For the Disciples' Cross, I prepared a page here. Okay. It's a blank page. You have to write down all the information on it, including, like in the center, you need to write down Christ and all the Bible verses. Okay. John, what verses you need to write down, and you need to be able to memorize all the verses. So I do have a memory sheet here. Okay, I think in last week's homework, one day it mentioned that you can just write it down. Okay, so for the English ones, you need to. You have to write down all the memory verses today. Okay? You will be able to handle all of them. Okay, this is the circle, and these are the verses. Thanks again. This is from Alan Xu from the Chinese congregation. He prepared this animation for us. It shows the whole Disciples' Cross. Okay, so the verse. John 15:7 is there. And then we have fellowship to the believers. Okay, John 13, 34 through 35. And this is the verse. Then we have witness to the world. Okay. And they're growing. Okay. I just moved. I want to repeat the memory verses. You should be able to, you're going to repeat this. Actually, you're going to write it down and show it to a partner. Assignments. Okay, you know you have done your, you have already completed book one, but on the back pages, page 139 through 143, there's a discipleship inventory. You need to get it done before you attend the Growing Disciple Workshop. And you know we do have a Disciples Workshop on June 26th, at the same time, same place here. We'll have that workshop. But next week, we don't have class. You get 1 week off. We will all attend a church retreat. So you will do, make sure you get down the discipleship inventory. Yeah. All right, next time we meet here on June 26th, you're going to bring back your book with all the inventory questionnaires done. Okay. I need to mention to you again, I think I mentioned the last several times. By now, you need to already establish the habit of daily quiet time, reading your Bible, and you complete all the assignments. Maybe first we have hard time to complete all the assignments, but by now you should be able to complete all the assignments. So when we start on book two, all of you need to have a daily quiet time, read the Bible, and be able to complete assignments. If you are not, this is the time to drop out. Don't bother coming back on June 26th for the workshop. You're done with the discipleship at this stage, unless you have said what I just mentioned. You have this daily quiet time and complete assignments. Then you can advance to the next step. But this is master life. So why people feel the master life is so hard, so tough? It gradually build up your strength, spiritual strength, and it does have a very high demand on this discipleship process. Okay, this is a small group time. As usual, check each other. Pass this now. Okay, get a sheet. The memory verse, some in English, some in Chinese. Just get anyone that fits you better. Okay, you need to do memory verse today. All of them, and explaining disciples' cross to each other, sharing. We are required to do a kind act to your non-Christian friend. If you have this experience, share with your small group, and practice Roman road. You practiced it once last week. Do it again. Then end the session with prayer. Okay, now you break into small group now.